Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 277, 2019. Pro U Focus. It was kind of my answer to New Year's resolutions. Things that had been on my mind, and I kind of started ending the year thinking about this and adding another episode and doing this, and I got three episodes recorded, and I'm like, let me just push those back and do some things that I thought were important at this time of year. So I did the, hey, this time of year is funky, and I did year-end reflection because it was the year-end, and I wanted to do something going, this is how I'm looking at 2019. Looking back at my life and moving forward, this is what I want to work on. Here's my focus. Not on January 1st, I'm going to cut this out or add this. These are the things I've been working on, molding, shaping, crafting myself into a better version of me. And I'm going to continue that, and here are some of the things I'm going to focus on. I'm going to try to decrease some of the areas where I'm placing time and energy. And I now know after walking my Pro-U path, those things do not serve me. So if I'm conserving my energy, letting go of things, having more trust and faith, I'm going to have more balance, which is going to allow me to continue to become a better version of myself. So that's kind of the story of this episode and why I thought it was omnipotent to record this now, like I said, in lieu of the regularly scheduled programming of Pro-U Podcast. So thank you for being you. Thank you for listening. Any questions, holler. Would love to hear from anybody. Enjoy. It's me. How are you? Here's some quotes for the New Year's. Edith Lovejoy Pierce. Great name. We will open the book. Its pages are blank. We are going to put words on them ourselves. The book is called Opportunity, and its first chapter is New Year's Day. Sydney Smith. Resolve to make at least one person happy every day. And that in 10 years, you may have made 3,650 persons happy or brightened a small town by your contribution to the fund of general enjoyment. Anonymous. Your Merry Christmas may depend on what others do for you, but your Happy New Year depends on what you do for others. Aisha Elderwin. Every New Year, people make resolutions to change aspects of themselves they believe are negative. A majority of people revert back to how they were before and feel like failures. This year, I challenge you to a new resolution. I challenge you to just be yourself. F. M. Knowles. A cheerful yearbook. He who breaks a resolution is a weakling. He who makes one is a fool. G. K. Chesterton. The object of a new year is not that we should have a new year. It is that we should have a new soul. T.S. Eliot, for last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice, and to make an end is to make a beginning. Emily Miller, then sing, young hearts that are full of cheer, with never a thought of sorrow. The old goes out, but the glad young year comes merrily in tomorrow. Martin Luther King. Glory to God in highest heaven, who unto man his Son hath given, while angels sing with tender mirth, a glad new year to all the earth. Benjamin Franklin. Be always at war with your vices, at peace with your neighbors, and let each new year find you a better person. William Arthur Ward. This bright new year is given to me to live each day with zest, to daily grow and try to be my highest and my best. Sounds kind of pro-Yui. Ella Wheeler Wilcox. What can be said in New Year rhymes that's not been said a thousand times? The New Year's come, the old years go. We know we dream, we know, we dream, we know. We rise up laughing with the light. We lie down weeping with the night. We hug the world until it stings. We curse it then and sigh for wings. We live, we love, we woo, we wed. We wreath our prides, we sheet our dead. We laugh, we weep, we hope, we fear. And that's the burden of a year. So there you have that. And I know we're already into the new year, but there's been a slight transitional delay with the Pro You podcast. I've got three waiting to come out, but it would have pushed the time of year, like to February, which is not that time of year when people are feeling funky. So I wanted to put that episode out. Then I wanted to do the year-end reflection because it was year-end. Makes sense, right? And then it was this whole thing about resolutions. You know, it's like, you know, don't do resolutions. You know, start today, deem yourself worthy. And I had kind of this year just been jotting down, making notes, just my pro you list, which I've told every client, every person I've ever spoke to come up with a pro you list, a list of things that you do 5 or 6 days a week that just make you a better you. And if you're stressed, worried, anxious, whatever, go to that list and see if you're doing the things that you wrote down. And if you're not, then that's your goal. So it's that thing that you keep building, you know, your toolbox with your tools, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I've always said have that pro you list. So it's the end of the year. And, you know, I did a workout and I mentioned, you know, don't be all fired up about New Year's resolutions. But there were things in my mind that I wanted to work on. And I'm like, well, I'm the best I've ever been. You know, that's not bragging. It's just a fact. And I know it because I'm me. I've been in my head the entire time, so I know. And the oddest thing is I've never really worked on me being this aware and this mindful, nor this thankful. But those three things have become, you know, my quan and my muscle and the fire that I flame. So the better I got, and even like towards the end of 2018, I got through that summer and everything Zen and I went through, and I was like, I'm better. I slowed down. I get it. I have more faith. And what stood out is I want to be better. And so I started, you know, these two lists, things I wanted to work on and the things I'm currently doing. So forgive the order, but next week we'll resume with Tom's journal. And then there'll be three in a row of kind of what I was going through. But there'll be a little time delay. And I don't apologize for that. I'm doing the best I can, people. So here's my current pro you list. Now, I don't do these all the time. But from this list, I pick the ones that I want to do, need to do, should do. 5 or 6 days a week, and I'm a better me. So the biggest one, and I haven't really focused on it until this past year, and again, it was not my orchestration, it was not my design, it was not my choice, but my life and myself were caused to slow way down. And when you slow way down, there's a lot of quiet time. Time in quiet. And I realized how beneficial that was. I realized and processed the value of quiet time. And when I'm in front of a client on computer and I'm on, I'm like, I dig that. I like that. But I'm like, well, how do I stay there? By balancing my life, going to the beach and being quiet, being with Zen, having downtime. That is the balance that then enables me to be that guy who's on, who's on fire, talking to people, fired up. And it's also like the guy that goes to the gym, works out really hard. He needs that rest and that recovery. He needs that downtime. I've always had sounds in my home, wherever I've lived. It's been kind of soundscape music and water from a fountain. And that, it's peaceful to me. You know, it's not always, you know, regular music radio. It's that soundscape, just that background noise. And it's always been very peaceful to me. So it's always kind of playing in the Zen garden unless I totally choose to have silence, which I enjoy now more than I ever have. And the running water, that's just something I've always dug. You know, I'm at the beach and listening to waves. You know, a lot of meditational tapes, they'll play like bubbling brooks in the background. You know, so that whole thing is just a little, hey, this is nice. I like this. This keeps me calm. And it doesn't matter what it is. I'm not telling you what to do, telling you what I do, sharing my list. So hopefully that inspires you to build and create your list, your pro you list. I mentioned this episode or two ago about taking hot baths, Epsom salt, lighting candles, the music's playing. It affects me in a very, very positive way. It calms me down. I feel peaceful. I come out of the bath. It's just about bedtime. You know, it's just a good thing for me, my body, my brain, my soul. Something that's been weird is kind of focused breathing. Like I emphasize my breathing, just walking up steps, I'm carrying groceries, and it's kind of been really habit forming. Once I'll catch myself, and I'm like, why are you breathing? And I'm like, it's a little bit too much, but it's because I'm being mindful, and that's a total habit. Like, I'll just catch myself breathing out loud, in, out, in, out, in, out. Because holding your breath is never a good thing. Especially when you're, you know, moving or lifting or carrying something or whatever. So I've kind of always emphasized that breathing because I know how important breathing is. And again, you get to the pro you moment. What are we doing? We're talking about your breath. We're focusing on your breath. We're trying to connect your mind and your body, making you present in that moment. So if you're aware of your breath, and talk to someone who struggles breathing, they'll tell you how important a single breath is, being able to breathe. So deep breaths, 3 deep breaths can change your mind, alter your mood at any given moment during the day. But again, that's a muscle that you got to build. This has been one of the biggest things I've done for the last 8-10 years, is foam rolling. And I also have that little massage hard ball that can kind of spin in its little holder. And I step on that, roll my arches, heel, do my feet. Those two things I've probably done more and more consistently than any other thing in the last 3-4 years. And why? Because it's what I needed and it's what's benefited my body. I like to go to the gym and I like to lift big weights, but it was like a result thing. Oh, I like how that looks, but I was uncomfortable, or it was, you know, heavy weights making my body feel uncomfortable. And again, not by design, my orchestration, but I didn't choose to leave the gym and not do heavy weights anymore. It just ended and I accepted it, moved forward, and now I'm like, wow, I feel better. Huh. That worked out well. So it seems to me there's a whole lot of things that just work out in my life. And if I just accept it, you know, when crunch ended or I ended the gym or whatever it was like this, oh, I was doing it and it was what I did and I was comfortable and And then a week, 2-3 weeks later, a month later, it's like, oh, that's better. Huh. Go figure. So you start looking for those things. If I'm like, those things just happened, and I kind of naturally put up a little defense or fight, what if I just embrace, you know, my favorite quote, 2018, I don't mind what happens. I don't mind what happens. I'm just going to go with it. There's power. There's power that lies there. All right. Running. 6 days, six mornings a week I run. And it's, I'm not really sure how far. I have no idea. You know, fast I'm doing. I don't compare. I don't reference. And I simply run because I can. I know it's good for me, and adrenaline and endorphins and heart pumping and blood flowing. I mean, I get the benefits of running. But I truly run because I can. And it was a struggle. I kind of ran once, and then when Zen got hurt, my leg was kind of funky, and I stopped for 3 months. And when Zen wasn't running, and started running again, and now it's awesome and it's great. But I mean, it has not been an easy thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm finally running comfortably at 53 3/4. Going to be 54 soon. And I'm talking about I'm running just because I can. It kind of took this long to get me to a place physically, mentally, emotionally, where I'm like, I'm going to run. I'm going to run every morning. And I'm not going to judge, critique, rate, reference, anything, compare, nothing. I'm just going to run and be thankful that I can run. Going to the beach, balancing stones. It's huge, 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 huge part of my life. It was more of an escape, more of a fun, more of, oh, look what I'm doing, I'm creating. So it was more of an active thing. Where now it seems I go there to just shut down, be alone, be away. I still play with Zen. I still balance stones. But it's just different to me. It's always been great and fun. And I love it. But now it's like vital. Like I understand that that is part of who I am. Me at the beach balancing stones helps me be the version of myself that I want to be. That's a pretty cool thing. I'm glad I'm aware of that. A lot of times you're doing things and you don't even know why you're doing things. Stop, reflect, think, take inventory. Write down some things. I was talking to a client the other day and he just keeps writing down these things. And he goes, I wrote some down some things to tell you. And I'm like, okay, tell me. And he said, I haven't seen this person in a long time. And they were talking and this person goes, what are you doing that makes you different? Like, dude's over 50. This person that's known him for a long time stopped him and said, what are you doing? It was that apparent that this guy was different. He was walking the earth differently. And someone who hadn't seen him, he's been, you know, working with me for about the last 6 months or so, since he has probably seen him for a year. And it stuck out. And this guy's like, I wasn't really sure how to word it. I'm being pro-you. It's like, what are you talking about being pro-you? My guy's over 50. And, you know, old dog, new tricks. Typically where you're at when you're 50. You're not doing things. You're not reflecting. You're not stopping. You're not taking inventory. You're not writing down. You're not journaling. You're not becoming aware. You're not becoming mindful. You're typically doing what you've been doing for 50 years. And when he shared that, I loved it. Because I'm like, you feel different, but now people are noticing you're different. And it's a better different. And it's a pro-you different. And I loved that. Those are the conversations I love. When people are telling me about their growth and their experience. And they're sharing that with me. Touchdown Tommy D. So it's finding that thing, you know, that beats that balance. You know, I did it and maybe I was going to make money or maybe I was going to this, and, you know, that whole result kind of thing, goal orientated, where now I do it just to do it. And I go there, it's like I touch a button and it resets me and then I come back home. More grounded, more centered. And I like being there. As soon as I get to the beach, you know, flip-flops come off, I'm, you know, feet in the sand. I love being barefoot, walking on the stones, being in the water. I just love that, you know, that connection with earth. I go there and I connect with Mother Nature, and it grounds me and it centers me. I've been doing it for like 10, 12 years, and I never really said that before, felt that before. But again, stop, pause, reflect, write some things down. You start learning about yourself. And you realize your growth. And again, when I'm realizing my growth and I'm thinking about my growth, yay, purple. No white noise. No voice. No conversation. Just me thinking about being a better me. Now, the workouts have changed, obviously, and I wasn't perfect at it, but I've mentioned the other things that I've been doing. So all of those things give me balance that make me become a better me. Balance is the thing that's going to move you forward. If you got one area that's a 9 and another area that's a 2, you're not going to move forward as a better you. You're just not going to. So most important things, water. Portion size. Don't eat right before bed. Try to take food from the ground into your mouth with the least amount of anything going on in between that process. So if you're just eating pretty good, it's that box checked, I'm feeling better. Not, well, I'm eating bad. I'm feeling kind of yucky. What can I do? It's like, hey, stop eating that way. So again, nutrition, your, you know, healthy habits. It's not chicken and broccoli all day, every day. Not sustainable. But it's finding that way to eat that provides or establishes, contributes to the foundation of becoming a better you. Now, it's another thing that I did. Thanking God 10 times a day for my faith, for my health, and for my dog Zen and his health. After the accident, 2018, I said, yeah, I'm going to do that 20 times a day. And I was just this thing where I was like, well, it's going to just cause me to stop and pause once a day. And, you know, just to kind of, hey, I don't care what's going on today. I'm going to just remember what's important. I'm going to stop right now. And if everything was taken away, and it was like, what are the 3 things you want? I'd be these. Clear as bell, world small. I know what's important. Here it is. Boom. 2018 ends. And I wasn't doing New Year's resolutions. But there was these things I kind of wanted to focus on. I'm like, well, see, that's the point. I'm doing all these things. I've been doing all these things for 4 or 5 years. Not, oh, in January I'm going to start this thing. But I'm like, but the new year coming around, there is a significant meaning to the new year, the beginning, starting over kind of a thing. And I'm like, well, you can just add to it. So not, hey, on January 1st, I'm going to do, or I'm going to take out or stop or implement. Like, I've been doing this. It was kind of the end of December. And I said, well, I'm going to work on a couple things. And all of a sudden it popped into my head going, I'm going to go 30 times a day with the thank you. And again, call it what you want, whatever. I don't care. But it causes me to pause. And the trippy thing was, you know, I did 20, just, you know, just, and then, you know, when I had to do, or 10, and then when I had to do 20, it took a little bit, you know, but I was like, okay, I'm pausing, I'm reflecting, it's cool. And it was a different thing than when I did 30, because it just seemed like it's like way longer. And I can get distracted during that process. And I'm like, see, this is why this was a good thing, because if it's a little hard, I got to focus a little harder. And I could tell, I was like, wow, this isn't just a little bit longer. It just seems like it's a lot longer. A lot longer what? A lot longer time that I'm pausing and being thankful. So what makes me do it? How I do it? It doesn't matter the tool, the instrument, the vehicle. It's just once a day I'm pausing for a little bit longer just to say thank you to what I feel is vitally important in my life, my walk, my path right now. So I just thought it was a cool kind of thing. Don't you just gradually up that? And the last one that I've always tried to work on is just to be a good dog owner. So I like who I am. End of 2018, and there were a couple things humming, like going from 20 to 30, and I was like looking at just a couple things that I didn't want to pursue. And this is the tough thing. So here's all this episode came down to this one thought. And it caused me to look. What am I working on? What do I want to work on? I have a little edge to me. It's always kind of there. If I need to fight, if I need to protect, if I need to defend. And this is not a comfortable thing to kind of really look at. It was the past few weeks. I'd gotten to a little argument where I became a little heated before the end of the year. And I thought to myself, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm like, why do I do that? Whether it's right, wrong, good, or bad, I'm in the right there. It's like, why? Why does that come out? There's this weird reference. Happy Days, maybe some of you know it. Maybe some of you have never heard of it. Henry Winkler played Arthur Fonzarelli, and Richie Cunningham was his friend, and he was teaching him how, you know, get ready for this fight. And he says, you don't have to fight. You just show up, you act tough, and you get all mad, and you'll just scare the dude. So they show up that night. They're going to go through this, and, you know, Richie's like, cool, I just got to fake it, and the guy will back down. And Fonzie walks up and says, oh, yeah, one important thing. You had to at least been in one fight to be able to sell this. And Richie's never fought before. And it was that thing where if you get in someone's face and you have done things before, they can see it and feel it. And mentally you can just, that's it. You won. They'll back down. They'll walk away. So looking at it, I knew what it was. And like I said, this is like a tough thing. I want to say embarrassing, but it's from my father. And dudes in high school, they added to it. But I got to a point where I'm like, no one is ever going to pick on me, bully me again. And I didn't join karate for that. I just happened to join it and loved it. But when I became good at it and started fighting, whopping dudes in the head, I was like, okay, now let's see someone yell at me. Let's see someone raise their voice to me now. That was just there. Never threw the first punch, never started a fight. I was, you know, a respectful dude. But it was protecting a family member, spouse, child, I was right there. Someone came up, made a noise. I was out in front. What? That guy. Kind of like a guard dog. On. Ready to protect. But now at this point in my life, I'm like, well, what's that, Tom? Well, that's a lot of energy to carry that around. And when this moment happened at the end of last year, I wasn't ready to turn that on button on, and I didn't. And it felt like, okay, this is like high school. I should get fired up and get mad and get engaged. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And this was it. It's like, I just don't want to do that anymore. I go, you're going to have to give up all that anger. If you want to walk the earth as peacefully as you say you do, you're going to have to rid yourself of that anger and that chip. I mean, even, you know, walking Zen, I'm walking around going, someone do something, say something, I'm ready. Not in an aggressive way. But that was always there. And to reach this age and go, you know, I want to get rid of that. So I wrote down, no yelling, no raising my voice. It's January 8th as I record this, and I'm doing fantastic at that. A little bit over a week, and I haven't yelled at anybody. But that is what I'm concentrating on. That's my focus. And that spread. So, not New Year's resolutions, because I've been working on all this stuff for a long time. But I want to like zero in, get more specific and focus. And go, okay, this feels good. What if I got better at it? I took a little bit of that out. What if I took more of that out? I added some of that. What if I added more? So that was my verbiage I was picking. What can I focus on more intently that will provide me an easier path to a better me? So, no yelling. And I've done great at that. 8 days in. No cursing. I've not done well at that, but it was becoming aware. I do it mostly in the car when I'm driving. And I mean, it's not a big deal to me. I don't think it's bad if anyone does it. I've done it my whole life, but I'm like, I don't really want to explain why I'm taking it out. I just think it's something to work on. It's like this discipline thing. This was kind of this thing going, you should be more disciplined. I was like, wow, why? I'm like, well, the discipline things you've done have benefited you, and you've kind of got the time to stop and pause and reflect. And it's like, why not do more of that? More discipline, kind of less human, more spiritual. Build that muscle. And I was very agreeable with myself. So it kind of went into this thing where I was like, I'm going to actually try to talk less. There's moments where people pause and I'm like, okay, I'll fill the gap because I can talk. Or talking to someone's not that comfortable. I'm like, well, I'll talk the whole time because I can. Or there's a sudden pause and it's uncomfortable. I'm like, well, I'll feel that uncomfortable moment because I can talk. Or run into someone and all of a sudden I'm like way fired up and I start going into this thing, and then I realize this person doesn't have time and they, what am I doing? And it just hits me. I said, I want to focus on talking less. It was kind of that spiritual journey when I was 52. Talking less. What does that mean? How's it going to benefit you? How are you going to do that? But the greatest thing was like with running, just, I'm going to dabble, not judge myself, not critique, rate, reference, compare, nothing. So that's the same thing with this like focused pro you list. It's on my mind. Planted a seed. Might not run, might run. Might run a little, might run a little more. Okay, cool. Talk less. Same thing. Planted a seed. I don't expect to be perfect. I don't expect, I'm going to kind of just be aware. Be mindful. And thus far, I've enjoyed just thinking about that concept. Meditate. Now, I went to a phase where I'm like, okay, I meditate. It's when I'm at the beach. When you're so focused on something that you don't allow any other thing in your mind, between your ears, boom, meditation. So I was like, you know what? I don't have to sit and do this certain thing and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'll meditate the way I meditate. Because meditation is a goal-oriented thing. You'll feel better after meditation. Well, I feel better after I go to the beach and I balance stones. So there we go. But I don't know what it was. I was just hearing about quiet, being in quiet, sitting in quiet. And I'm like, you know, there's power there. Not a lot of people want to just sit still in quiet. That's uncomfortable. But there's just a lot of power that lies there. And I thought, that's what I'm going to do. I go, I just want to sit. Just, okay, what's this like? Kind of just like experiment. Not, okay, set the timer, play the music, you're meditating, go. It's like, just be aware for a few minutes every day. So it's like the running thing. Just, I'll get 3 minutes, five, whatever. By February, I bet you're doing a little bit more. The workouts, the live workout. I was doing no workouts and then started that. And I was doing one workout, maybe two. And then, hey, I'm getting about 3 workouts in a week now. Okay, good job, Tom. Just because I didn't beat myself up. That I wasn't doing everything on my list that I had done. A little more user-friendly with myself. And it was just more quiet time, I wrote. Just more quiet. Even more. I was the most quiet, most slowed down I've ever been in my life. At the end of the year, I reflected and went, more quiet time. Now, who does that? Who spends the type of time and year I did? And at the end of it goes, more quiet time, more downtime. Someone who deems themselves worthy. That's who. Now, what's grown since I was 48 has been my trust and my faith, and something that I'm very thankful for. So I want to increase my trust and increase my faith. And I think that's just basically by letting go. I will put time and energy into the things that serve me, the things that I can control, and I will do my best to let go of the things that do not serve me, that I cannot control. Boom. Equals more trust, more faith. Drive slower. After the accident, I did slow down. It wasn't like I was driving bad or fast, but it's like, you know, if you drive a little slower, there's a little more reaction time. And I think, you know, you get out of an accident like that, you know, take what you can and go with it. It's like, you know what, it wasn't your fault, you didn't do anything wrong, but just drive a little slower. Okay. Just don't make a big deal out of it. Just take that little advice from that inner voice and move forward. And I mentioned I went to the thank you 30 times a day. That's been the biggest thing I've actually felt since I started. I'm like, there's just a difference between 20 and 30, and I liked it. And as always, I want to become just a better dog owner. That's what I ended my pro you list with that I have been doing. I have been a good dog owner. I have been working on being a good dog owner. But I want to work on it more. I want to continue to work on being a good dog owner. All right, so we're transitioning here. This is something I was going to leave for another episode, and it just happened, and I'm like, well, let's just go now. So, a whilst ago, my friend Scotty Mosier said, hey, check out the story Little Buddha, Keanu Reeves. And I went on whatever. I couldn't find it, but on Prime Video, I found The Buddha, narrated by Richard Gere. It was basically the story. I'm like, okay, let me check this out. So I watched almost the whole thing once, and I wrote a note down, and I went, I should just watch that again and take notes. This is kind of crazy. Like this is like school, and I didn't really do school, and I wasn't really into it. And now I'm like, hey, I want to watch that movie again and take notes. And why? It wasn't for a podcast. It was for me to learn. And I'm like, wow, look at that. Not liking school, not liking reading, not liking anything about school, and here I am. It's like I'm making myself do homework because I wanted to learn. I thought, I don't know what this day it was, January 3rd or 4th. And I was like, fantastic way to start the new year. Look what you're doing. Again, purple. I like how I'm thinking. I like what I'm doing. Look at me watching a movie about Buddha, learning, taking notes. So I shared this with one client. It was pretty trippy. All the similarities. And the things, like, again, I've never investigated Buddhism. I don't want to become a Buddhist. I'm not going to say anything I'm a Buddhist or anything like all. But it's like, if something works, I'll take a little bit. If it makes me better, I'm going to keep doing it. If it's not good for me, I'm going to cut it out. Pretty simple. It's like that little walking through life like a buffet. Take the little things that work. Take the little things you like. Don't take the things you don't like. So that which is good for you, apply. That which is not good for you, disallow. So I'm just going to read some notes. Now, there was poets, there was physicists, and the Dalai Lama all kind of talking about this while Richard Gere narrated it. And basically, if you know the story, he's born between like 500 years before Christ. But the story goes that he came out of his mother's side 7 days after he was born. His mother dies. And she had this dream that he would be the great leader or a holy man. His father wanted to become a great leader. He's like, you're not going to go out in the world. I'm going to coddle you. I'm going to spoil you. I'm going to give you everything in the world so you feel no bad, see no bad, hear no bad. And for almost three decades, this is how the Buddha lived. And he went outside, and there were three things he saw. One was a sick person, one was a dying person, and I forgot the third thing. But he's like, okay, wait a minute, what's out here? and he decided to go find it. So he went out. And then he said, okay, now I'm going the other way. I'm going to not have anything. So called ascetic, where you eat as little as possible. You don't have anything. You give everything away. And he went far to the extreme. And he realized that didn't rid his suffering either. So he's like, well, how do you get rid of this suffering? And then he went on this six-year journey. Which then they said 6 years. I was like, well, that's, yeah, I've been here 6 years. And I'm like, I'm reading this now, and I'm like, well, this is, so, you know, I'm not claiming anything. It was just very cool to get these little similarities, you know, spot them, because again, I've mentioned breadcrumbs. Hey, I'm doing something right. Hey, I'm thinking right. Hey, I like where this is going. I like how this is feeling. I'm going to continue down this path due to those breadcrumbs. So when I was taking these notes, things that resonated with me, you know, sparked my interest, whatever, I just wrote them down. And it took me like 6 hours to watch this hour and a half movie. I couldn't believe how long it took me. I walked Zen like twice during it. And there was a line in it where it said, you know, the 6 years, like, you have to almost lose everything so you can find yourself. And I was like, wow. Like, right off the bat, the 6 years, and I'm like, everything's kind of gone in my life that was there for 48 years. And then be kind of rebuilding it. And that's what got me intrigued. I'm like, okay, I want to dissect this. I want to listen to everything. So here we go. The world is full of pain and sorrow, but I have found a serenity that you can find too. And I was like, serenity, this is what I like. It just causes me to do different things. I'm like, let me just look. You know, I think serenity, yeah, I know what that is, but what is it? Definition. I'm like, perfect. There you go. Look it up. State of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. And I loved the definition. Like, serenity, you just think it's that, but actually looking it up and getting the definition, I was like, okay, now, boom. Let's place that into my mind, my pro-you mind. Life is blissful. Joy is everywhere. Only we are closed off to it. His teachings are about opening up to the blissful and joyful nature of reality. I see they start talking about reality. Like, well, wait a minute. I've mentioned that a whole bunch. The only time we suffer is when our mind argues with reality. It was Marianne Williamson who said that. But see, those are the things I keep remembering. Wait a minute. I was saying, oh, accept your reality, drive your car, ding, 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 like these little light bulbs were signing off that, again, I'm just on the right path for myself. Any good story has a lot to teach. The story of Buddha's life is a beautiful way of telling his teachings. Because it starts off with, you know, hey, he was, comes out of his mother's side, and you know, when he became the Buddha, there was all these, you know, stories, magical, you know, this and that. It's like, well, what do you believe? Is it true? Is it not true? And for 500 years, his stories were just passed on verbally. Like, the first writing of the Buddha was like 500 years after his death. And that's just, this one poet was quoted a lot. He's like, you know, it doesn't really matter what was right, what was truthful or not. It's just like, did the story send that message? Did you receive that message that that story told? I'm like, it's the same thing if you think about like the Bible. And I got to this place where I go, you know, I don't think it's really my personal job to decide what is true or what isn't true. But I can work on me. And that's kind of what I picked up from this whole Buddhism thing. It's not about knowing the answer of where everything came and how it started and where it's headed. It's just right now, right here, this moment, how are you doing? And I'm like, wow, that's kind of what I've been talking about, being pro-you. So just that, you know, here's a story, a Buddhist. Like, wow, you're a Buddhist? You're believing that stuff now? It's like, just relax, okay? I'm just taking some of the messages from some of the stories because I liked them. Help me remember them. He who sees the teaching sees me. he who sees me sees the teachings. So again, talk the talk, walk the walk. The Buddha does not battle with his own destructive capacity. He has found his own capacity for equanimity. Word I had not heard of. Equanimity. Mental calmness, composure, and evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation. And what I just said I wanted to work on. Like 2 weeks ago, I wrote down, no more yelling, no more arguing. Watch a movie, take notes, hear a word I don't know, look it up. Mental calmness, composure, and evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation, which I have not done well. So see, if you look at it different, going, okay, I don't want to feel like I got punked. Okay, that's a choice. So do whatever you can to not feel punked. A lot of effort, a lot of effort, a lot of effort. Or, oh, here's a situation. I want equanimity. I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to keep my composure. I'm going to have an evenness of my temper in this difficult situation. See, if I look at it like that, it becomes a cool challenge. Not me. Oh, I walked away because I didn't want to fight that guy. I walked away because I was intimidated. I backed down because I was afraid. Shut up. Evenness of temper, composure, calmness. All right, 2019, let's do this. Surrendering to the reality that has always been there. So see how Buddha's searching this way and that way, and he gets to the point where that, you know, there's suffering, but there is beauty, and the beauty's right here in your reality. How are you looking at it? So again, I'm the best I've ever been, have less of everything. Nirvana. The moment seen directly. The only gate is now. Nowhere to go, no aiming, just the quality of this moment and all that is going on there. And again, Nirvana, you go, yeah, Nirvana, name of the band, you know, it's this what? Looked it up, I'm like, okay, this is great to get the, okay, this is what they're talking about, like Nirvana is that moment where, and I had this one day where I wrote it down, I go, I did not think about anything today. I walked in, I worked out, and I noticed there was nothing in my head. And to me, that's kind of what I had been doing. And when I added the fourth thing in 2018 to be thankful for, it was to be thankful for right now, this moment. I had another quote, no more days, just moments. I want to enjoy moments. Sounds kind of like Nirvana. At first, he was afraid to share what he had learned. The Buddha. We are all connected. Everything is connected. When one understands this, they will feel compassion. When you're enlightened, it is like a flower blooming. The Buddha's very first teaching, his very first teaching moment, he fails. Buddhism is being normal, being a normal human being. We are all Buddhas. So an ascetic is, again, these people that just, they rid themselves of everything. What do I need? Eat once a day, you know, just no possessions, nothing. And again, when the Buddha did something, he did it all the way. So he was the best at being an ascetic. And when he started eating and becoming a better him and, you know, kind of had this enlightening moment, he went back to talk to these ascetics. And they were like, wow, you went to the other side. You know, you totally failed. And it was a rough time for him. But those same ascetic friends that first turned on him soon became his first disciples. His first teaching was called Setting in Motion the Wheel of the Dharma. He didn't refer to a dogma. I love this line. He shared his own experience from his heart. Like, sharing your own experience. That's what I got from AA. It's kind of what I'm doing. Like, these are the kind of things that I just... It's like getting little confirmation. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't think about where you're headed. Don't think about what you're getting. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep searching to be a better you. And then share it. And you know you share from the heart. So be thankful you get to. And again, that quiets me. That calms me. Compassion comes from understanding and permanence. Compassion comes from understanding impermanence. It's one of the essential doctrines and part of the three marks of the existence of, or of three marks of existence in Buddhism. Flow. Everyone and everything is connected. When they talked about that, like flow and everything's connected, it's like, well, yeah, you know, I do the podcast, people listen, they feel good, they, you know, email me, hey, I feel better, that makes me feel good. It's energy. And it's like, well, how does that flow of energy happen? Because we're all connected. We just are. We're all connected. Buddha's disciples went out to teach. And they would beg for food, and it wasn't a bad thing. This is that thing where I was like, again, today is all that matters. They would go out, teach, and then they would ask for food. So they would receive food that got them through the day. It's like, we taught and we ate. Good day. We taught, and we got food for teaching. So we did what we needed to do today. Now, that's a very small world. Not a lot of noise. Not a lot of conversation going on in their minds when it's that small. We're going to teach the lessons today. And the people that benefit from those lessons will feed us for today. Not tomorrow, just today. You didn't have to become a priest or a nun to become a Buddhist. Everyone can become one. That made me think about Catholicism. You know, like, you know, not just anybody's going to walk into a Catholic church. You're not dressed right. You're not looking right. You're not acting right. You know, there's going to be a problem at the door. I always said about AA. Anybody, biggest mess you are, go to AA and walk in. So I like that. Anybody can become a Buddhist. That's what I'm saying. Like, well, these things kind of resonate with me. And I'm like, wow, being a Buddhist, just, you know, being a Buddha is like just being the best you. I'm like, well, that's fantastic advice. The fire that burns inside us is that of all our desires, the three poisons, greed, anger, and ignorance. It's like, wow, anger, look at that. One of the three poisons. That's what I wanted to work on. Okay, keep reading. It's not about denying the poisons. Turn them around. I thought, turn them around. Instead of greed, you get generosity. Instead of anger, you get compassion. Instead of ignorance, you get wisdom. And I was like, wow. Well, what is... Isn't that kind of like purple and yellow? Like, what are you thinking about? Okay, don't think about that. Think about this. What are you looking at? Well, yeah, don't look at that. Look at it this way. So it's not, I got to get rid of all my... No, it's just don't think about your bad. Don't think about yesterday. Don't think about what happened in your past. Just what are you doing now? Turn it around. Look at it a different way. Shift your perspective. Deem yourself worthy. This is great. Guy has this line. He goes, all you need to know is there's suffering. Needing to know more than that is an example of your own suffering. Boom. Loved it. Remember me as the one who woke up, Buddha. It's the whole thing about awakening and being awoke. Do not accept my teachings out of devotion, but rather by your own experience. I loved that. Because again, I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm just sharing what I'm doing. So I'm not telling you, hey, this is what I did. I feel better. Do what I'm doing. You know, don't follow out of devotion. Do your own thing. Make your own pro-you list. You know, it's all about you walking your path of self-discovery. You deeming yourself worthy. You coming up with a list, you know, reflecting, stopping, pausing, doing inventory, watching a movie and taking notes. You do that for you. If something contradicts, we have the right to reject it. That I loved. Again, there's this thing I read about, some about family, and there's this big debate, and cutting people out of your family, and like some people are like, you can't because family, and da-da-da-da, and this whole thing, and I was like, there's so many things ingrained in what you can and can't do, and it's like, why? Just ask that question, why? Why can't I cut toxic people out of my life, no matter who they are? Buddhism does not argue with reality, and I loved that. I mean, I had that quote, and I talk about it, you know, that arguing with reality. There's your reality. That is your car. Drive that car the best that you can. Live your life the best that you can. There's only you, only one you, and you have one life. No one can do it better than you, no matter what your circumstances are. Just embrace the reality. Be thankful for the reality, and then live in that reality. Change starts within. Boom. All things change. And when the Buddha died, he says, use my death as your own awakening. I was like, see, like when my sister passed away, he's like, okay, now what do you want to do? How do you want to think? And I'm like, it took me a minute, but I was like, all right, you don't get to have bad days, make mistakes, and fall down. I get to. So I'm just going to be thankful. No matter how good, bad I do, I'm going to be thankful that I get to. So I used her death as my own awakening. It's all right to feel what humans feel. Buddha attained enlightenment and shared what he learned, leaving a path for others to follow. Be your own light. I mean, it's just, you know, words I've said before. You know, I've talked about, I'm in the woods, I'm a little bit older, you're 30, I'm 50, I'm just a little bit ahead of you. When you get to the bridge, the sign says, go left, go right. You know, talking about this path. And, you know, again, this is pretty powerful. Me just, you know, not even the movie I was really referred to. Stumbled on it. And here I am taking notes. And all these things resonated with me. It was not the extremes, having everything or having nothing, but in the middle. All things must be balanced. I said that before. Balanced. You got to have balance to move forward. Music string. If it's too tight, the string breaks and the music dies. If it's too loose, there'll be no sound and the music dies. Avoid high highs and low lows. Pick middle. This is from the Dalai Lama. The path to enlightenment is along the middle way. I'm like, oh my, how long have I been saying that about the middle, avoiding high highs and low lows? Now they mention the four noble truths. One, there is suffering in the world. The dissatisfaction in our own mind causes our suffering. And again, said that before, when your mind argues with your reality, you suffer. That's it. The only time we struggle is when our mind argues with reality. Number two, our suffering has a cause. Three, you can free yourself from suffering if you understand the cause. Boom. Four, the Noble Eightfold Path, which includes these three. Moral discipline. I mentioned moral discipline in 2019. Mindfulness. I've been speaking about that forever. And wisdom. And wisdom to me is you gain experience. And then you gain wisdom by going through life. And the Dalai Lama was talking about this, you know, trying new things and keeping the ones that work for you. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Nirvana could be found in a fleeting moment through the practice of meditation. And again, I was like, I was just going to like really start to like do the sit still, meditate more. Wow, these are powerful. coming to terms with one's own thoughts, by paying attention to them, by becoming aware and becoming mindful. I mean, that just like it could have been a statement I've said, almost verbatim. Coming to terms with one's own thoughts by paying attention to them. Stop. Hey, what's that? Ask question. By becoming aware and becoming mindful. Difficulties come from within. Allow yourself to feel the feeling without going all into it. It gives us a chance to stop and say, okay, I feel anger. What is that? Stop and pause. We get stuck in the feeling and it begins to twist us. And I'm like, that's what it is. That bad moment you hold on to, you carry that thing all day long saying you had a bad day. That thing gets stuck and it just starts twisting you. And all of a sudden you're involved in this wrestling match. Instead of just going, nah, I'm just not going to do that today. I'm not going to wrestle you. Bye. Instead, go through inside it and come out of that feeling peacefully. There you will find joy. To practice and practice, the practitioner becomes very balanced, a state of equanimity. I am calm. I control my mind. The mind is as restless as a monkey. Who you are, what you think of as yourself, is constantly changing. Once you stop centering your feelings about your feelings on yourself, what arises is compassion. Compassion for your own suffering and the suffering of others. So there you have it. That's what I'm going through. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm sharing. Again, forgive the 3-episode interruption and any confusion that starts next week with you when it resumes with the regularly scheduled episodes that I have pre-recorded. But hopefully they all make sense and something resonates with you. If January is not going as planned and you'd like to chat, you'd like to share something, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, proupodcast@gmail.com. Message me on any social media if you'd like. Appreciate anybody going to iTunes and just rating the podcast. Search Tom Dieters, the Pro U Podcast will come up. If you'd like to leave a comment, that'd be awesome. But just rating it would mean a lot to me. And again, anybody needs a trainer, help, voice, cheerleader, someone to listen, I am here. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year. Deem yourself worthy because you are worth it. You're here. 2019 is upon us. Let's fill it with pro-you moments because you're worth it. Let's begin to control that which we can control. Begin to feel powerful. I'm empowered about this moment because it's our moment. So we're seated, crossing our legs if we can, eyes closed. Let's draw that inhale through the nose, outhale out the mouth, exhale out the mouth. Think about that breath, focus on that breath so we can elongate it, slow it down. Connect our mind and body, making this moment a pro-you moment by connecting our mind and body and making ourselves present. Anything thoughts, tension, stress, anything enters, just calmly, quietly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I'll let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations. Another successful ProU moment. So if I think back, I've really been gathering ProU moments. And that's how I came to achieve a better me. Collecting moments, being aware, being mindful. Why are you acting the way you're acting? Why are you saying what you're saying? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you thinking what you're thinking? Stop, pause, slow that process down. Ask yourself why. Make yourself a ProU list. Again, all of this is purpose. You growing, and it might be a little bit at a time, but it's no bad. There's not any amount of bad. And you growing a tiny bit every day. But when you flame that fire and you grow faster and you see it and you feel it, it's hard to deny. So when they said that Buddha was a little hesitant to share what he had learned, I understood that. But he's saying anybody can be a Buddha. When you look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror and you look at yourself, there's the Buddha. You deciding what you say, you deciding how you act, how you feel, who you hang out with, what you spend your time doing. So you deeming yourself worthy, navigating the pro-you path of self-discovery. It will bring you to a place that you may have not predicted, wanted, or knew of. But there's no way you'll ever achieve a better you and turn back or go backwards. It's just truly deeming yourself worthy. So take the good from anything. Search anywhere to find anything that gives you a foothold, a stronghold, something to cling on to, something that resonates with you, and build upon that. Have trust and have faith. That's what meant to be shall be. And then just prepare yourself for the good that's awaiting you. Peace. And God bless.